Turn to Proverbs 3:13. We're going to cover verses 13, 14, and 15 tonight, Lord willing. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." So here we see that the man that gets wisdom and finds understanding is a fortunate man. He has found favor with God. And the reason we know that is because the word happy in the King James, in the what is technically modern English, but when we say modern English, we mean today, but whenever dictionaries say modern English, they mean 16th century or 17th century English. That was the beginning of the modern English period. But anyway, in King James English, happy means having good hap or fortune, lucky, fortunate, favored by lot, position, or external circumstance. So it doesn't mean joyous and cheerful or whatever, like we would think about it today. Now, it is true that if you find wisdom, you will be happy as we use the term today, but that's really not what this is referring to. And just a good biblical definition of happy would be if you turn back to Ruth 2 and verse 3, see a really clear-cut example of how the Bible uses the term. Ruth 2 and verse 3, which Ruth is after Judges. There we go. Yeah, between Judges and 1 Samuel. Ruth 2 and verse 3. You remember the story of Ruth, that she left the country of Moab with her mother-in-law after her mother-in-law's husband died, and then Ruth and her sister husbands died, or her sister-in-law's husband died. And so anyway, Ruth ended up going to glean in a field, and she ended up in the field of a man named Boaz, which was a fortuitous event because Boaz was a wealthy man and a single man, and the rest is history. Ruth 2 and verse 3, but it says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Her hap. So you ever heard of happenstance, right? That's kind of like something lucky happens to you, right? That's where the word happy comes from. So she was fortunate. She was blessed to land in that field because Boaz was a kinsman, and he had the right to buy the portion of land that belonged to Naomi's husband and to Ruth's husband as well. And he was able to do that, and then by doing that, he ended up getting Ruth. So she was very blessed. Now, like Ruth, the man that finds wisdom is a happy man. And let me just go through a little bit of reasoning here with you to show you why somebody that finds wisdom is fortunate, they're blessed, they're lucky in a sense. And that is, first of all, wisdom's found in the Word of God. We know that from Proverbs 2 and verse 6, that the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. But the thing is, with the natural man, he can't understand that wisdom that comes from the Word of God. He can read it on the page just like we can, but when he reads it, it's just a bunch of words. It's just foolishness to him. It doesn't make any sense. It certainly doesn't make any impact in his life. We're told that in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." So he doesn't have the new spirit in him to discern the words and to understand what they're actually saying and to receive the message from the Spirit of God. And nor is he subject to the words. We're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." And furthermore, we're told by Jesus that if you want to find something, you first have to seek it, right? "Seek and ye shall find," Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 7. But Romans 3:11 tells us something about the natural man, which says, "There is none that seeketh after God." So in order to find wisdom, you have to seek for it, but the natural man is not going to seek because he's not seeking after God or God's word or God's wisdom. And in order for the word of God to not be foolishness to him, God has to first save him from his sins. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I like preaching sovereign grace, but there's actually a purpose for this. 1 Corinthians 1:18. So God has to make a change in a person first before they can receive the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So for the gospel to be the power of God, to have an effect in your life, a changing effect, you first have to be saved, right? To us which are saved, it's the power of God. Most people think that it's the gospel that saves you, but this doesn't say that. This says that it's foolishness to you if you're not saved, and it's the power of God if you are saved. So you have to be saved before that gospel has any effect on you, right? And most people have that one pretty well backwards. If you look in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, this is that process by which we're given a new spirit that can understand the things of God. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Once again, most people say that you have to believe the gospel and then you receive the spirit, right? But the Bible says you receive the spirit so that you can know the things that are given to you of God. You've got to be born again first. You have to have eternal life first, and then you can understand and believe the gospel. Okay, so why am I talking about all this stuff? Because this is where the happy part comes in. God only saves those people whom he foreknows and chose and predestinated to be his children before the world began. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So God chose us in Christ before the world was ever created. He looked ahead, he saw a fallen race of mankind, he decided to say, choose out of them, out of that race, some of those men to give to Jesus Christ for him to die for and to save. And it says in Romans 8, 29 and 30, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate, and whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. So it starts off with God foreknowing ahead of time people, then predestinating them, determining their destination in advance, so determining they're going to go to heaven, and then they're justified in the blood of Christ, they're called by the Spirit of God, given eternal life, and eventually will be glorified. So based on all that, the man that has the capacity to find wisdom and get understanding is happy. He is fortunate because he was chosen by God and given that ability. Because remember 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. So that process of election, of choosing, is how God saved us, and then therefore is how we have the ability to receive the words of wisdom and to seek after them and find them. So therefore, that's why we're happy when we find wisdom. Fortunate, lucky, if you were. Because we were one of the ones that God chose. Not because of anything we did, just because he decided to choose us for reasons only known to himself. We don't know what those reasons are. What would the reason be from human standpoint? You look at a bunch of creatures, they're all fallen and they're all utterly corrupt in sin, and they all are enmity against you. What reason could he have for choosing us other than his own sovereign choice, just because he wanted to? So that means we're lucky. We're blessed. And this goes quite well with what David said in Psalm 65 and verse 4, when he said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Now, blessed is a synonym of happy. Fortunate, right? So the man whom God chooses and causes to approach unto him is a happy man, a blessed man, a fortunate man. Now, not only is a man happy to have the ability to find wisdom and get understanding, but he's happier yet when he actually acquires them. So it's one thing to be able to find it, to have the capacity to seek, and when you see it, you can identify it as such, but to actually acquire it is an even bigger blessing. And Solomon explains this in the next few verses, why this is the case. And we'll be covering these a couple of them today, and then the rest of them in the coming weeks. But he says, first of all, that wisdom's merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. Proverbs 3 and verse 14. So Solomon's giving all these reasons why the man is so blessed to acquire the wisdom of God. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. We'll talk about that one yet tonight. And then secondly, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Verse 15, she's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. We'll look at that one tonight as well. And then she affords men long life accompanied with riches and honor. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. She gives a pleasant and peaceful existence. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And she is a source of abundant life to them that lay hold upon her. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. You see, he said that we're happy when we find wisdom and we get understanding. And then 18, he says we're happy when we retain her. So when you're in possession of her and you don't let her go, that's when you're really blessed. So that will take care of verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3:14. This one, we'll have some fun with this one. Proverbs 3:14, for the merchandise of it, speaking of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So let's look at the first phrase, first of all. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. So we just looked at the fact that the man that finds wisdom and gets understanding is happy or blessed or fortunate. And then in this verse, 14, and the following four verses, 15 through 18, Solomon gives us several reasons why this is the case. The first reason why the man who finds wisdom is happy is that the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. Now let's define merchandise. It is the action or business of buying and selling goods or commodities for profit, the exchange of commodities for other commodities, or for money. So that's the definition of the noun merchandise. Now, he compares the merchandise of silver with the merchandise of wisdom, right? For the merchandise of it, so wisdom's merchandise is better than silver's merchandise, right? Now, if we apply what we know about silver, we can learn something about wisdom. Because we know things about silver. Everybody's pretty familiar with silver. It's been around since, you know, the dawn of time, and people have valued it forever. It's been highly sought after because it is a metal that is rare, valuable, and useful in a variety of applications. That's one of the reasons why it's money. It has widespread appeal due to its beauty and to its utility, and that made it a commodity that could be traded for any other commodity, which is the definition of money. That's what money is. It is the universal medium of exchange. So over time, people recognized that this stuff is rare, it's durable, it's not easily corruptible, it can be melted down, it can be divided into smaller coins, stamped, you know, it's very useful for all kinds of things, and therefore it became money. So it's for these reasons that its merchandise surpasses that of most other things on this earth. Merchandise, it's exchange value, essentially. Why people like to use it for exchange, because of the properties that it has. So what are the reasons for this? Let's go over each of them. So the merchandise, or the exchange value of silver, is high because it has desirable properties to it. But wisdom has even more desirable properties to it. But let's look at some of the desirable properties of silver, and then we'll see why wisdom is better in each of these categories. So silver is rare, it's valuable, it's beautiful, and it's useful. But silver is even more rare. I'm sorry, wisdom is more rare, more valuable, more beautiful, and more useful. Let's look at each of these. So wisdom is so rare that when Solomon was looking for a wise man, he lamented the fact that he had to look over 1,000 people to find just one. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 28. Now, I'd say that's pretty rare. Right? If somebody says, you know, this disease only affects 1% of the population, we'd say that's fairly rare. You know, you're not going to meet hardly anybody in your lifetime that has it. Well, 1/1,000th would be 0.1% of the population, right? So that's a rare find. This tells you something about mankind, that we're not very wise as a whole, considering what Solomon said. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 28, he said, "Which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among 1,000 have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found." Okay, so he can't find a wise man hardly. He finds one among 1,000. Says he can't find a woman at all, which is interesting. But, I mean, we're not doing much better if it's only 1 out of 1,000, right? But, I mean, if you think about it, though, that's probably about right. I mean, if you think about all the people that you know that you would look up and say, like, that guy is a wise man. You know, he makes good decisions, but then he's the kind of guy where I can call him up and ask him a question, and he just has the best answer. Like, just an answer that's like, yeah, why didn't I think of that? Like, oh, it's perfect. It's exactly what I should do. Like, I'm sure I know a couple thousand people in my life, and I can't think of more than about 2 that I would just look up and say, wow, now that is a wise man. So I'd say Solomon's probably about right. I mean, that's a rare find, for sure. Wisdom is so valuable that it is said to be the principal thing. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Principal means first or highest in rank or importance, that is at the head of all the rest, of the greatest account or value. So when wisdom is said to be the principal thing, it's said to be the most valuable thing. Right? And isn't that one of the properties that makes silver so precious, because it's valuable? Well, wisdom is the most valuable thing. Fourthly, wisdom is beautiful. It is as beautiful as fine jewelry, Proverbs tells us. Proverbs 28 and verse 12. You think about how valuable wisdom is. Wisdom, if you have it and apply it in your life, it's going to save you all kinds of trouble. It's going to promote you in all different areas of life. You're going to be sought after, where people are going to come to you for advice and things like that. So yeah, it's extremely, exceedingly valuable. Proverbs 25 and verse 12. It says, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." So the wise reprover is like an earring of fine gold. It's a beautiful piece of jewelry. So a person that is endowed with wisdom has a beautiful appeal to them, right? Spiritually speaking, of course. And then lastly, wisdom is useful. Silver is very useful for, especially today, I'm sure in earlier times, silver would have been useful for jewelry. It would have been useful for making, you know, shrines and that kind of stuff, silverware, of course, right? Forks and spoons and teacups and things like that. But today, silver is even more useful because it's used in a lot of electronics, in solar panels, and it's one of the best conductors of electricity in the world. There's very few conductors that are better than silver. That's why a lot of times whenever you pull out a circuit board, and you'll see where the connector, where you actually connect the wire there, it'll either be silver or gold, because it's an excellent conductor. They just don't make wire out of it because it's too expensive. It's too precious. Right? It has other uses that are more needful. But anyway, wisdom is exceedingly useful. It guides a man through all of life's decisions, and it enables him to choose the best means to the proper ends. So rare, valuable, beautiful, and useful, just like silver. So as Solomon said, it truly is better to get wisdom than silver, Proverbs 16 and verse 16. Because the thing is, silver can't get you wisdom, right? Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? You can give a guy a whole bag full of silver and he's not going to get wisdom. You send him off to school, he's not going to get wisdom. But if you have wisdom, you get lots of silver, right? You ain't going to get any wisdom with silver, but you'll get lots of silver with wisdom, right? Proverbs 16 and verse 16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? This is one of, I never counted them up, but it's one of a relatively few places in the Bible where an exclamation point is used. You notice that? So when an exclamation point is used in the Bible, you know that it's probably a fairly emphatic point. And I think I've made a pretty good case why it's better to get wisdom than gold, and understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Then Solomon says there in Proverbs 3 and in verse 14, that the gain thereof is better than fine gold. This is the second reason that the man that finds wisdom is happy, because getting wisdom is actually better than fine gold. And the gain of it is more. There's more gain to be had. Gain is increase of possessions, resources, or advantages of any kind, consequent on some action or change of conditions, an instance of this, profit, emolument, opposed to loss. So I think we pretty much knew that anyway. When you gain, you increase in possessions or resources or advantages or something, right? So fine gold is, if you were to get fine gold, you have gained a lot, right? It's something, you've gained something that is very valuable and precious. Fine gold is even better than regular gold, because regular gold would have impurities in it, have other metals mixed in with it, hadn't had all that stuff burned off yet. But fine gold is of superior quality, choice of its kind, free from foreign or extraneous matter, having no dross or other impurity, clear, pure, refined. So if you look at like a Canadian maple, the gold coin minted by the Canadians, it will say 0.99999, four nines, I think, on there. So there's only 1,000th, one ten-thousandth of a percentage of impurity in it, or 1,000th of a percentage, point 0.0001, so 1,000, one ten-thousandth, yeah, one ten-thousandth of impurity in it. So that would be considered fine gold, certainly. Those maples are beautiful. I think that's probably one of the most beautiful coins, on the planet. I think so, anyway. Fine gold is one of the most precious metals in the world. Now, the gain that can be gotten by gold is exceeding high, but it pales in comparison with the gain that wisdom affords. And let me give you some reasons for this. So let's see what gold can get us, and then what wisdom can get us. So gold can fill a man's house with possessions, but wisdom gives him the sense to resist doing so. Think about that.
You can't take wisdom away.
That's right. You can't take wisdom away. That's right. That's right. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 16. See, you can do a lot of stuff with gold. The Bible says that money answereth all things. But the wise man would actually restrain himself from doing many things with money, even lawful things. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient, right? All things are lawful, but all things edify not, the Bible says. Proverbs 15 and verse 16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that you don't own stuff. Stuff owns you. And I know this from personal experience. Not really my own personal experience, but from watching family members. And I've seen how this works. And I think that's why, one of the reasons why I am the way I am, because sometimes you'll end up swinging the complete opposite direction of your parents. If your parents were off on one side or the other, you know, really extreme with something, a lot of times, sometimes the kids will either follow right in their footsteps or else they'll go totally to the other side. And I think that's what happened with me, because my dad is a hoarder and I am a minimalist. I try to keep things as simple as possible. And I've seen what happens, because the more stuff you own, the more it owns you. It's just more stuff to maintain. It's more taxes to pay on it. It's more, you gotta keep it up. Buildings fall down if you don't constantly work on them, and cars break down, and it's just, it'll keep you running all the time. Ecclesiastes 5:11 through 12 says, "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?" And I know people like this, that they literally just buy stuff to look at it. But they only to look at it until they buy more stuff to pile on top of it, so you can't see the other stuff that's buried underneath it. I think for some people it's an addiction like any drug addiction is, that they get their fix by going to an auction or going somewhere and buying something, if it's a good deal especially. And it literally, I think it's an addiction. I think they get a dopamine rush in their brain, and then that fades quickly, and then they got to go buy something else to get that rush again. I think it's probably a legitimate mental disorder. "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." Even if you were rich enough to pay somebody else to maintain it all, you still have to worry about your employees or your servants maintaining it all and taking care of it all, and it ends up owning you. "Gold enables a man to travel the world, but wisdom teaches him that time spent in the house of God is far more valuable." You see why wisdom's better than gold? Psalm 27 and verse 4. That's Proverbs. Let's see, Psalm 27. "One thing have I desired and of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." See, wisdom teaches them that the house of God is the most important place to be. Look at Psalm 84 and verse 10. Another one of my favorites. It says, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." So a day in God's courts, in other words, a day in his house, better than 1,000. Anything. There you go. See, you knew where I was going with that. 1,000 pieces of gold, 1,000 pieces of silver, 1,000 houses, 1,000 vacations, 1,000 anything, right? A day in God's house is better. You've probably heard me say that before, haven't you? 1,000 what? Well, stick around, you'll probably hear it again. "Gold allows a man to live in pleasures. Wisdom teaches him to live in obedience to God." Look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 3, 13, pardon me, 12, 13. This reminds me of the verse in Proverbs where it says, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance." Because if you did get a large inheritance without wisdom, the large inheritance will, for one thing, it'll be gone very quickly. And it'll also destroy your life. It says that wealth gotten by vanity shall soon be diminished, and an inheritance gotten hastily shall come to naught. Or something to those effects, anyway. Proverbs 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12:13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Not to live in pleasures, not to serve ourselves, but to serve God. That's why we're here. That's our purpose, is we were created for him. Here's another one. Gold makes it possible to eat whatever you want. If you have enough money, you could eat anything that you wanted in any quantity that you wanted it, right? But wisdom teaches moderation. Wisdom teaches that even though you can eat anything you want, it's not wise to eat anything and everything that you want. Proverbs 23, 20 through 21. Be not among wine-bibbers, that's somebody that drinks a lot of wine, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And usually those two, three things kind of go together. When you eat a pile, then you get lazy, right? Especially when you get fat, then you get lazy. When you drink too much, you get tired, you get hungover, you sleep in too long, and then come the rags and the poverty. And then Philippians 4:5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Gold will make you many friends. Proverbs 19 and verse 4. It says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. And every man is as a friend to him that giveth gifts, the Proverbs also tell us. So you make a lot of friends if you have a lot of money, but wisdom will filter out and exclude most of those friends, quote unquote. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. You will have so many friends and so many family members that you never even knew you had if you win the lottery. They'll be coming out of the woodwork. I've been meaning to call you for 25 years. I just haven't gotten around to it. I just thought I'd give you a buzz, see how it's going. Yeah. Well, call me back in another 25. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Good idea to filter out those friends and only pick good ones that are going to build you up, that are going to be like the iron that sharpeneth iron, right? Instead of bringing you down. And then 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, be not deceived. And you know when he starts out with that, that this must be one that's easily to be deceived on. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So be careful who you run with, because chances are they're going to rub off on you. Your goodness is not going to rub off on them. So the gain of wisdom is no doubt far better than that of fine gold, and happy indeed is the man that finds it. And that takes us to verse 15. Proverbs 3:15. This is continuing with the reasons why the man is blessed or happy that finds wisdom and gets understanding. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So Solomon just keeps upping the ante here, if you notice that. In Proverbs 3:13, which we already looked at tonight, Solomon declared that the man that finds wisdom is happy, fortunate. In verse 14, he gave us two reasons why that is so, that the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. You remember we just covered that. In this verse, he gives two more reasons to prove his case. Let's look at the first part. She is more precious than rubies. So rubies are among the most rare and expensive gemstone on earth. They cost between about $1,000 and $3,000 per carat for one of high quality. That's what it was when I looked it up anyway. To this day, rubies are referred to as what kind of stones? Precious stones, right? She is more precious than rubies, right? Precious is of great price. Having a high value or costly. Now, as he describes the exceeding value of wisdom, Solomon compares it to increasingly more valuable commodities. Right? He previously compared it in the previous verse with silver and then with gold. Now, historically, gold's been worth about 16 times as much as silver. That's historically. Today, as of October anyway, 2019, it's worth about 85 times as much. So there's been a big spread between gold and silver. It's gone on for a long time, and it's gotten much worse the last several years. So if you're thinking about buying one of the two metals, silver is the better buy, because you can buy a lot more silver for the same dollar amount. And chances are that that gap is going to narrow. And it is. It already has been. It was up to 90 something, and now it's in the 80s. And more, silver's going to get closer to gold, and I don't think gold's going to go down to meet them there. I think they're both going up, and silver's going up a lot faster. So, good time to buy. By the way, gold's in a little correction right now. It's down about $100 from what it was just a couple of months ago. Good buying opportunity, I think. But anyway, by weight, rubies are currently worth approximately 200 times as much as gold. This is according to my calculation anyway. That was back in August 2018. That was over a year ago, but I'm sure that number's fairly close. So whereas gold is worth, well, right now, 85 times as much as silver, rubies are worth, by weight anyway, rubies are worth 200 times as much as gold. So Solomon's using increasingly expensive things. So we should now begin to understand the immense value that God places on wisdom. Now, since wisdom is found in the Word of God, Proverbs 2:6, which we've looked at numerous times, how valuable must reading, searching, and meditating in the Scriptures be in the eyes of God? He considers it a lot more valuable than anything that you could put in your safe, right? Than anything that any physical item that you could desire. Now, Solomon goes on, and he actually, you think, well, what can be better than rubies? But he then takes it up another notch. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, he doesn't continue this line of thought into verse 16, because once you have said all the things that you could desire, you pretty much, there's nothing better than that, right? So in the unlikely case that a man has no interest in silver, gold, or rubies, God gives one final comparison that proves the unparalleled value of wisdom. He says all of the things that a man desires cannot equal wisdom. So you think about anything that you desire, anything that you want right now, none of that, no matter what it is, compares to the value of wisdom, right? But he doesn't even stop at saying all the things that we desire. He says, all the things that, not even all the things that we own, right? But greater yet, all the things that he desires. And I'm sorry, let me just read what I said. Sometimes, let me just read the sentence. It'll make more sense. Wisdom doesn't merely surpass the value of a man's most prized possessions, or even all the things that he owns, or greater yet, all the things that he desires, but rather all the things that he can desire. So things that you don't even desire yet, because you just don't sit around just thinking up the most amazing things you could possibly have. But if you sat down and just thought about all the incredible things out there, maybe things that aren't even created yet, even those cannot compare to wisdom. You take all of the endless things that a man can think of or wish for and add them all together, and they not only are unequal to wisdom, but they're not to be compared to her. It's like when Paul said that he's able to give us more than we ask or think, right? He's exceeding abundantly able to give us more than we ask or think. Something that's in Ephesians. Above all, there we go. Yeah, there we go. I'll get that verse for you. Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah, 20 there. There we go. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So the Bible's really good at giving those descriptions, which pretty much say, well, you can't top this. This is what Solomon is telling us here. Just as a drop cannot be compared to an ocean, or a candle to a forest fire, so all the priceless things that a man can conceive of cannot be compared to wisdom. So now do you understand why God said that wisdom is the principal thing, the first or highest in rank or importance? Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. So that takes care of Proverbs 3:15. And that brings us to the end of the blogs that I have written. So now, after a year, all this that from here on out is going to be all new material, and which also means it might come out a little bit more slowly too, because I'm not just copying and pasting and editing and putting it in an outline form. So hopefully we can keep doing it every Wednesday. We'll see. We'll just see how it goes. So next time we'll pick up with Proverbs 3:16.
We have brought